This is the evening update on 88.5 KCSN. I'm Paige McIntyre with complete coverage of the day's events in the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles County. In our report tonight, the economy is being strengthened by consumer spending, job gains, and an improving housing market. A study finds that meditation and stretching may ease the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. President Obama has made his choice for the next director of the FBI. Facebook is promising to update its policies to curtail hate speech. Doctors are learning how to respond to in-flight medical emergencies. In Southern California weather, clear tonight with lows in the mid-50s to lower 60s, low clouds and fog tomorrow morning, then sunny in the afternoon, highs in the upper 70s to mid-80s. California consumers could soon be paying more for the products they buy online if a proposed federal law is approved. Internet retailers have long held an advantage over their brick-and-mortar competitors. Startup costs and those associated with advertising and overhead are significantly lower for internet businesses. And when the absence of sales tax is figured in, it equates to much lower prices for consumers. Congress is considering the Marketplace Fairness Act. It would grant states the authority to collect sales tax at the time of a transaction, just as local retailers are required to do. Major online retailers, including eBay and Overstock.com, oppose the legislation. Sellers that make $1 million or less in annual sales and have no physical presence in California would be exempt from the requirement. Matthew Shea is the president of the National Retail Federation. He says the Marketplace Fairness Act would level the playing field. Information about an employee's salary is getting easier to obtain. KCSN's Jonathan Gonzalez reports that there is a detailed database floating across the internet.
Despite all the information Americans now share on social media and the data that companies collect, most people like to keep private how much money they earn annually. But in addition to credit reports, salary information is also for sale by Equifax. Its database is so detailed that it contains week-by-week pay stub information dating back years for many individuals. Equifax says its data covers 30% of the U.S. working population. Thousands of businesses, government agencies, and schools allow Equifax to tap directly into this information. Equifax then turns around and sells some of this data to third parties, including debt collectors and other financial services companies. Companies sign up for what's known as the work number because it gives them an easy way to outsource employment verification of former employees. The work number offers consumers some benefits. It provides an easy way for prospective landlords to verify an applicant's income, and Equifax markets the service specifically to student loan issuers. The employees who sign up for the service go to great lengths to reassure workers that their data is safe and secret, but it can be acquired through a one-time access code. Data brokers are coming under increasing scrutiny with congressional investigations of the industry. Jonathan Gonzalez, KCSN News.
The U.S. economy has grown at 2.4% annual rate from January through March, which was slightly lower than was previously estimated. The boost to household wealth from rising home values and stock prices is allowing Americans to weather high payroll taxes and sustain purchases. Economist Hugh Johnson says while the economy is growing, it is still less than hoped for.
2.4% is good from the point of view of the economy is expanding. A little disappointing from the point of view that when we started the year, we were really looking for a little bit stronger number in the first quarter.
Consumer spending, further housing market progress, and job gains will help strengthen the second half of the year as the fallout from federal budget cuts dissipates. Consumer spending accounts for 70% of the economy. It has increased at a 3.4% annual rate in the first quarter. The powerhouse fire in the Angeles National Forest is now 60% contained. The blaze has burned 32,000 acres. So far, it has cost $7.8 million to fight the fire north of Santa Clarita. Six homes have been destroyed and nine were damaged. LA County Deputy Fire Chief David Richardson says crews are working to protect residents.
Resources are still assigned and remain vigilant around and near the fire perimeter. If in case there is some escape, there are resources available to provide structured defense.
Firefighters near Palmdale face slightly weaker winds and calming conditions today. Wind speeds will continue to diminish into the 15 to 20 mile per hour range. The majority of the active fire is along Elizabeth Canyon and Hughes Lake Road, continuing over Shake Canyon. The flames are threatening 275 structures. 2,800 people who were forced to evacuate have been allowed to return to their homes. Some forms of meditation and stretching have proven to help treat post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms. A study showed that PTSD patients who participated in mind-body exercises for 8 weeks were able to improve their cortisol levels. The sessions including stretching, balancing, and deep breathing exercises. In the study, researchers looked at 28 nurses from the University of New Mexico Hospital. 20 of them had reported PTSD symptoms. Lead researcher Dr. Sang Kim says the evidence for the first group proved they experienced less psychological symptoms.
Not only participants report that they experienced a fear and less severe psychological symptoms of PTSD, but in the laboratory we saw evidence that their bodies were showing fewer signs of physical stress.
One group took an hour mind-body session twice a week. The other group did not attend the class. The group in the mind-body classes improved their cortisol levels by 67% and decreased their PTSD scores by 41%, meaning they had reported fewer symptoms. The group that didn't attend the class had a 17% increase in blood cortisol levels and a 4% decline in checklist scores without doing anything. The National Institutes of Health calculates that about 3.5% of the U.S. population will have PTSD in any given year. Nearly 40% of those cases are classified as severe, and almost half of those people with PTSD are receiving treatment. Environmental factors play a more important role in causing autism spectrum disorders. KCSN Keith Goldstein reports the new research has downgraded the role of genetics.
Research conducted at the University of California, San Francisco, and Stanford could force a dramatic swing in the focus of future studies into the developmental disorder. The researchers looked at 192 pairs of twins in California. Using a mathematical formula, they found that genetics account for about 38% of the risk of autism, and environmental factors account for about 62%. Previous twin studies had suggested that autism was highly inheritable, and past research has focused on unlocking the complex genetic codes associated with autism. In the latest research, it was determined that only about 60 to 70% of the identical twins had dual autism diagnoses, much lower than expected, and 20 to 30% of the fraternal twins had dual diagnoses. A focus is now being placed on prenatal conditions for developing fetuses. Doctors at Kaiser Permanente found a twofold increase in the risk of autism when mothers took antidepressants at some point in the year before giving birth. This class of drugs are known as SSRIs, or selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. The widely used medications include Celexa, Paxil, Prozac, and Zoloft. Other environmental influences may be advanced maternal or paternal age, assisted reproductive technology, and artificial insemination. Rates of autism skyrocketed in the 1980s and 90s and is now thought to impact as many as 1% of U.S. children. Keith Goldstein, KCSN News.
President Obama plans to nominate James Comey as the next director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The former senior Justice Department official will replace Robert Mueller, who's the longest-serving FBI director since J. Edgar Hoover. The selection of Comey has become more certain in the past month as the administration faced questions about the future of the agency. Author of The Matrix, The FBI at War, Garrett Graff believes strongly in the decision made by the White House in nominating Comey.
He has held very senior roles in counterterrorism. He has held very senior roles in the criminal justice system. He was the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, which is what the Justice Department division that includes Manhattan.
The decision on the new director has been a serious topic in recent months with many considerations from the intelligence agency. Currently, James Comey is a senior researcher, scholar, and fellow on the National Security at Columbia University in New York City. Comey has broad experience in managerial roles at the Justice Department, which is the most important justice position outside of Washington. The FBI is investigating the Los Angeles Police Department's elite SWAT unit and special investigations section. It is to determine if laws were violated by purchasing large numbers of custom-made handguns and reselling them for profit. The move comes after an earlier LAPD investigation found no wrongdoing on the part of the officers. Suspicion over the guns first arose in May of 2010, and a lieutenant attempted to inventory the Metropolitan Division's weapons. It was determined that SWAT members purchased an unknown number of pistols from a gun maker. Sales records indicated that as many as 324 pistols had been purchased from Kimber Bustamante Incorporated. Details of how the gun sales were done and how many officers were involved remains murky. An Inspector General's report found the department's investigation was deficient and limited. The purchase of firearms with the intent to immediately transfer the weapon to a third party may violate city ethics regulations and federal firearm laws. After a week-long campaign and pressure from activists, Facebook has ramped up efforts to squash out depictions of violence against women. The social network admitted that content is not being removed as quickly as they want or not at all. For the past several months, Facebook has attempted to improve their systems to respond to reports of violations but have not yet reached the needed standards. Executive Director of Women, Action, and the Media, Jacqueline Friedman, says the hate speech has to go.
Social research has shown that it normalizes violence. We don't take it as seriously. We think that violence against women is inevitable. We are less likely to report it the more and more we see these sorts of ideas and images.
Facebook promises to implement a policy that requires users who create pages with questionable content to publicly attach their personal account to them. They also intend to increase accountability for its users whose pages do not legally qualify as hate speech, but who post content that is cruel or insensitive. With nearly 1 billion users, Facebook says it has sought to strike stability between cracking down on hateful content while still allowing for freedom of speech. A new study shows that most travelers survive in-flight emergencies with the help of doctors, nurses, or flight attendants. The research is the largest look at what happens to people who develop medical problems on commercial flights. The federally funded study reviewed about 12,000 cases handled by the Pittsburgh Center over nearly 3 years. Pediatric general surgeon Dr. David Rogers says he felt out of his element when he was called in to help in a medical emergency during a flight.
I'm trained to work in a team environment with very specialized equipment. I don't have any of that available, so I'm thinking to myself, well, I know they'll have oxygen on the plane. I hope they have a defibrillator.
The results showed doctors who were on board volunteered to help in 48% of cases, while nurses and other health workers were available in another 28%. The study also says passengers may fear liability if they help in such situations, but a Good Samaritan law protects those who do so. The Metropolitan Transportation Authority is considering adding fees to every new home, store, or office building to fight congestion. The cost could range up to $1,900 per home or $30,000 for a new retail store. The added fees have been in the making for 10 years. Metro has recommended that each city charge a minimum fee of $200 per car trip generated by each new development. The fee would generate up to $767 million over a period of 20 years. Cities in Los Angeles County have submitted wish lists containing numerous projects they would like to see completed. This include lane widening and new freeway on and off ramps, along with traffic signalization. If all 1,700 projects submitted by 88 cities are completed, it would cost more than $5 billion. But the projects were reduced the number of hours drivers sit in the traffic between 6 and 38% over 20 years. In Southern California weather, clear tonight with lows in the mid-50s to lower 60s, low clouds and fog tomorrow morning, then sunny in the afternoon, high in the upper 70s to mid-80s. I'm Paige McIntyre, KCSN News. Listen each weeknight at 5 p.m. for the KCSN Evening Update,